welcome to the South Carolina Disaster Corps podcast, the exclusive podcast that is dedicated to the education of South Carolinians in a variety of topics within emergency preparedness, and strives to apply that knowledge to increase community awareness, resilience, and service. My name is Cameron Matthews, and I am a South Carolina Disaster Corps team member. And in today's episode, I'll be talking about several ways that our listeners can become involved within the community through the Andrews County CERT program. The Andrews County CERT team is otherwise known as the Andrews County Community Emergency Response Team. This is a program that at the end of 2019, Sari and myself had the ability to participate in the training and certification process of becoming CERT certified. For some background on the CERT team, it is a program that educates individuals about disaster preparedness. However, it also provides individuals within the community the ability to perform basic disaster response skills such as fire safety, light search and rescue, organizational structure of a team, and disaster medical operations. To become a part of the Andrews County CERT team, you can go to their website at acsctraining.com/CERTMSR to find out various training dates and time. Also, the application can be found online, and it needs to be completed and returned to Anita Donnelly in person or by mail, who is the program manager for the CERT and MSR. The address for her office is 305 Campson Road, Anderson, South Carolina, 29625. During our time of becoming CERT certified, we became certified in Stop the Bleed, CPR, and AED, as well as various forms of first aid training. This program for me has increased my confidence in areas such as emergency planning and first aid, which is a characteristic that can be applied outside of CERT to wherever you may work. Also, the CERT program focuses highly on communication, which, similar to the other two characteristics, in that it can be applied to wherever you go. Now, this is based off my personal experience with the CERT training we received in 2019.
All right, so yeah. In 2019, both of us took a class for CERT through Anderson University with our professor, Howard Murphy, who was on the show for an episode on resiliency. So he's actually who trained us. Him and also our friend Jonathan Webster, who was also on the show for the first aid episode, helped in some of that.
As well as Andrew Culp with the
fire safety. So those three individuals helped pretty much with their specific portions of the CERT training. And I believe the first thing we're going to talk about is triage, correct?
Yes. As mentioned just recently about the various types of first aid training, triage was one of the main ones we focused on with Solid Bleed.
Yeah, so we had a whole like week of class that we just focused specifically on triage about, hey, when you enter a disaster scene, the first thing you do is you go in, you say, anyone who can hear me and can get up and walk towards my voice, please do so. And those are individuals who are either not hurt at all or they're individuals with very, very minor injuries. And like those are individuals that can help you. Mm-hmm. And then you have people who are injured and can't do any of that stuff, but they're not immediate. That would be like yellow. Then you had red tags, which were people who...
Non-responsive,
right. Who needed immediate help. Then you had black, which was dead right there. So that was triage. And actually, that was a very interesting experience because we set up the entire room.
And we did actual exercises with the class to practice how it would be in a real-life situation.
Yeah, like people were laid out on the floor, and we had like cards on our chests that told whoever was responding to us what was wrong with us, and we had to accurately mark them as well.
Like now, with the marking, we had used the various colors of tape.
Yep, colors of tape.
For when they went to the triage area, away from the disaster scene or crime scene, that they were... Easily identifiable.
And in fact, one of the things we haven't mentioned, but like with triage, you have to like set up areas for each type of patient. So you have an area for green tag patients, you have an area for yellow tag patients, you have an area for red tag patients, you have an area that's farther away that's a morgue for individuals who've been tagged as dead, as deceased. And of course, we're in a small classroom, but we're in a single classroom.
We had individual squares for
individual
this.
Squares in the classroom. In a real situation, you'd be farther away from the actual scene of disaster because there could still be secondary threats, any sort of other like structural failures depending on the type of disaster, chemicals in the area. And in fact, speaking of recently in Belton, literally yesterday, there was a train derailment here.
That'd be a perfect example to do triage with, especially if it was say it was a passenger train.
Yeah, passenger train.
There's various injuries people could face on a passenger train.
And if chemicals were involved, that would be like people around the train if it derailed in almost a residential area or close to a residential area. If there's chemicals that are spilling out everywhere.
Say the railroad in Belton runs straight through town, actually. So
Yeah, I must say, because we have a railroad that runs right through town in Fountain Inn where I'm from, and I can just imagine if a train derailed there, how much damage that would cause to the town and how many people would have to be evacuated or triaged and, you know, airlifted out to hospitals. It could be a really bad scene. So learning how to do triage and just know, okay, this is the kind of individual who doesn't need help immediately. This is someone who absolutely needs help immediately. And this is a person who's dead, just mark them and leave them, is very important. And, you know, if you ever walk onto an accident or you see an accident occur, you can go ahead and start that process, like, right away.
Now, with that, if you're not with law enforcement or other emergency services, you want to notify the individual before you start working on them. Hey, my name is such and such. I'm a community emergency response member. Can I help you? Mm-hmm. And the Good Samaritan law, right, covers you if they are unresponsive in a disaster area. Mm-hmm. But if they are responsive, you want to let them know that who you are and what you're there to do.
And again, like, talk to them in a calm voice. You need to be confident in your abilities and what you're doing. Because if they see that you're confident and that you're secure and that you're like, okay, I'm going to help you. I know exactly what I'm doing. You know, everything's not fine. Don't be like, oh, everything's okay, because that might not be the case.
So you never want to tell them you're going to be okay.
Yeah, because they might not be okay. But if you can just act calmly and say, hey, I'm going to help you, that's already half of the battle won, because the mental battle is just as important as the physical battle in these sort of situations. So that was one of the training events that we did with CERT. Well, we also did a few other things as well.
Yes. One of the fun, not fun ones, it was very time consuming and awful conditions, but was our certification training, which took place in October of 2019. And with that, we did it at the Andrew County. Is it Andrew County?
It's the Speedway.
Motor Speedway.
Yeah, the Anderson Motor Speedway.
It was an evening exercise. It was raining, and it was cold, which stole your nose all too often with the having. He was part of the...
I was a victim.
Yes. He was wearing shorts and had to have... It's called moulage, which is fake blood, fake injuries. Well,
yeah,
that's something we want to talk about, was the environmental factors. It's not always going to be sunny, 50, 60 degrees, so you're not feeling good. It's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. It's going to make things miserable.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to add that the victims who were present, we had to show up like an hour before anyone else got there. So we were all standing out in the rain, in shorts, two of us in shorts, because we were getting our legs moulaged, in the rain. And it wasn't just like straight rain. It was like angled rain, varied hard, 40 degrees, and there was nowhere to stand but outside. We couldn't go into the building. The trailer was not big enough to hold all of us. And the trailer was the only place with a heater with warmth. So we were all just huddled together at the door of the trailer, trying to get as much heat as possible. And keep our moulage dry so it doesn't get washed off in the rain. And we had to stand there for an hour waiting for everyone to show up. And then when they finally all showed up, they all stopped and looked at me and Buck, who was the other guy in shorts, and they're like, you guys are stupid. Why are you wearing shorts? And we were just like, uh-huh, thanks, guys.
But also with that, not just physically, okay, it's going to affect you, but your equipment. You make sure your equipment's going to get wet. So you make sure the type of equipment you have is either weather resistant, or you have multiple of that can stay dry, or a way to keep it dry in your bag.
Yeah. I mean, and it's going to affect you mentally as well. Mm-hmm. Just being stuck out in the worst kind of weather conditions, not only is it bad for the victims, it's bad for the responders. It makes the job so much more difficult in terms of like having to deal with, okay, evidence for things. If you're law enforcement, rain is a terrible thing to deal with. It's just, you know, it's bad situations if trucks get stuck in mud,
or which there was a lot of,
which there was a ton of around. It was, you know, it was a good example of how weather and just the natural world can work against you at a disaster, and that you really, it's a great way to prepare yourself, because you're preparing yourself for the worst.
I say at that moment, yes, it was awful and miserable, but thinking back on it and afterwards, after we all did which we're talking about later, is the after action review, it was probably one of the best ways we could do it, because it prepared you for the worst possible situation.
And I still joke to this day with Dr. Murphy about that specific day of me showing up in shorts and having to stand in the rain. He's like, yeah, you got a real good learning experience that day. I'm like, yeah. I also got a cold afterwards.
So moving to communication, which I mentioned is one of the key characteristics of CERT team and any kind of responder. Mm-hmm.
Knowing how to use radios, knowing how to, where you're actually supposed to report to. Because, so I was a victim. So I was laid out in a room and I was unconscious. So I was non-responsive. Mm-hmm. Well, Cameron and Andrew, who was on the show with us, and a few other people come and find me. And well, like for 10 minutes, they just stand over me, looking down at me like, what are we supposed to do and where do we take him and how does all this work? And I'm like dying here because I'm like bleeding out from my leg terribly.
Yeah. Upper leg wound.
But it was super funny because they were calling over the radio multiple times and no one was answering. Not a soul was answering their call.
And following that, with CERT, you want to be with a buddy at all time. That was something that was preached throughout, is mm-hmm. always be with a buddy. And during the situation with nobody was answering the radio, I made the mistake of walking out the door
by myself
and was confronted by the program manager, mm-hmm. Anita Donnelly, and instead of just like reprimanding me for separating from my group, she actually used this as an experience for everyone and separated completely from the entire exercise and was waited until everybody went back to the
hot wash,
and then they realized like, oh wait, we're missing a person.
Mm-hmm. And I think we haven't really given some of the explanations. So this incident that we were taking part of was a shooting at the Speedway. Mm-hmm. So there was like 7 victims who had been shot, and the shooter was dead. He'd been taken out. He'd been eliminated. But the whole CERT team, as well as fire, was responding and medical was responding. But then, you know, after all the victims were patched up, they were taken to a heated van for a hot wash, which is kind of like you after action, like, oh, hey, how did it go? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Let's look at you. But then it was like, because the victims, we just got to sit there. We were done. But then we could hear everything happening with the CERT members. Like, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Cameron's gone missing. Murphy's gone missing. Okay, we'll go out there and find him. And then all of a sudden we see all the people in the van for CERT. They're like, oh, we have to go back out into that rain. And it was funny, but it was also like, wait a minute. How did this happen?
So not only is that communication, but that's also organization.
Yeah.
But that is why they had the, okay, before you left out to go look for help, the individuals at the beginning, you had mm-hmm. to do a sign-in sheet. So it had your name, radio number, and group mm-hmm. number. So from that, whenever we came back for the hot wash, you had to check in. Mm-hmm. And that's something that needs to be done not only with any this exercise, but other.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and you know, if you're the first person to respond, like the actual first responder to a scene, you might not have a buddy. Mm-mm. And that's okay. But as soon as other people start responding, you need to make sure you're staying with someone. You're staying with the group. You're working cohesively together. You're staying organized. You're communicating. Because as soon as you start going lone wolf, that's when bad things happen to you and there's no one around to help you. And it causes problems for the rest of the organization trying to save you or trying to help you.
So CERT's main focus is doing the most good for the most people. Mm-hmm. So once you go by yourself, you're not helping the situation anymore. You're becoming part of the problem. Not part of the problem, but...
Well, no, I think you're becoming a part of the problem in that you're not helping solve the incident. You're not helping people. You're now just someone else who needs to be helped. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why you stay in the buddy system. And of course, something can happen to buddies. Like if you're in a building that is not structurally sound and you don't know it yet and it collapses on both of you, well, that's, you know, you're still doing what you're supposed to. It's just you weren't supposed to go in that building, perhaps.
That's why with CERT, the CERT members aren't going to go into a scene that is unsafe.
Yes.
Entirely. Now, if there is a chance of the building, it's not something because of the incident they're there for.
Yeah. Now, with, again, the one we were. The only way that a CERT member would be the very first responder on the scene is if they were there as it happened.
Yes. And they work at like a run or a walk. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they'll be there for those kind of community events. Yeah. Just because they never know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. We're there to respond to if there is an emergency. We hope there isn't, mm-hmm. but be prepared for if there is. But more often than not, law enforcement's going to go in first, make sure the area is safe. Then you're going to have fire and EMS go in after them. And then, and after that, finally, CERT usually goes in.
And that's only if they're absolutely needed. Like, if all other first responders are exhausted. Like, their resources have been exhausted.
Exactly. It's like, hey, we have to absolutely have this extra 20 or 30 people come and help us. And luckily in South Carolina, that kind of event doesn't happen very often. We don't really have where we have to respond that way.
Yeah, especially in our county, in Antrim County, there hasn't been too many.
Yeah.
If now, they do also help respond with, like, missing children for, like I said, the Mounted Search and MSR, which is
Mounted Search and Rescue.
Now, there is extra training you have to do for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not,
which we did not receive. Yes. We did not receive any training for Mounted Search and Rescue. It's a very cool program.
Yes.
And I would like to if I had the time to do it. But
that is also on their website. You can follow. You can go to the ACS training / CERT MSAR. Sorry. And go to that training and find out the information for that as well.
And, you know, but CERT, it's like they taught us how to use fire extinguisher, how to go into buildings that may be structurally unsound correctly.
Stuff to look for before you enter.
Before you enter, like how to turn off water, electricity,
gas.
You know, very important things that a lot of people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really great experience. It's a really fun experience.
Yes.
COVID has affected a little bit differently. Like the last CERT group who went through Anderson University, they did not have an actual exercise out in the world like we did. They had to have one that was contained because of COVID. Hopefully in the future, though, they'll go back to having standard exercises again.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode of the South Carolina Disaster Corps podcast. You'll be able to find all of our shows on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcast, Breaker, Apple Podcast, Radio Public, Podcast, Overcast, and the South Carolina Disaster Corps YouTube channel. If you'd like to learn more about the South Carolina Disaster Corps, AmeriCorps, or United Way, please visit unitedwayofanderson.org. For those of you listening on YouTube, please hit the like button and subscribe for more content. Also, those of you that are who are subscribed, hit the bell icon to receive notifications for new videos. For those listening on one of the podcast hosting sites, hit the follow button to stay up to date with the podcast. Remember to be looking for our weekly shout-out that will be available on Friday and next week's episode. Thank you for joining me and Sawyer today at the South Carolina Disaster Corps podcast. We hope to see you next time, and remember, be prepared.